Mason?
Father, we pray for Mason. We lift him up. We thank you for the work that he's done to prepare. We thank you for his study, his time of preparation. And Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to receive the message you've given him for us, that we would grow in virtue in Christ's likeness, and that we would become the people you want us to be. Bless Mason and bless our ears as we hear and live out what he's brought for us. In Christ's name, amen.
Thanks, Luke.
First of all, I just want to say thank you to all the fathers here. Thank you, Dad, for all you've done. And I know that fathers are very important. I've read some things, too, that how important a father is when children are growing up. And my dad has really had a big impact on me. So thank you to all the fathers here. So about a year and a half ago, I met a friend named Brian in a small group I was attending from Experience Church. Brian's in his 50s. He's married, and he's a very devout Christian, a very godly man. And I went to his house that night for the study, not expecting much. I mean, I didn't know this person. But little did I know that Brian was going to become one of my best friends. And when I was attending his small group, this was during a time when I was kind of going through a rough time. I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. But after going to the study week after week, I began to realize who Brian was. In my most down moments, every day I would always reach out to him, and he would always pray for me, he would encourage me, and he would consistently be kind to me to help me to get back on my feet. And his kindness truly had an impact on my life because it really showed who I am supposed to be like and ultimately who Christ calls us to be like. And to this day, Brian still texts me every day. He texts me every morning, every night, all day, every day, and encourages me and prays for me and has just been very kind. And his simple acts of kindness towards me they embody one of the key virtues that we're going to talk about today, and that is kindness. But on another note, even though Brian has been so kind to me, for some reason, I can go right to being unkind. So I don't know, some of you played sports with me. I don't know, not mainly these people right here. But right after talking to Brian and getting encouragement and seeing how kind he is, I can go straight to being unkind when I'm playing sports, particularly when I'm losing. So in turn, it can go from having fun and enjoying my time to being kind of sour and maybe not being so friendly. And I actually had to stop playing pickleball for a while last year. I stopped going, and that's where we picked up fishing. Because fishing is, you're just out there alone, you're just with the fish. So it's a lot more calm and relaxing. So that's where I picked up fishing, because I was getting so frustrated playing pickleball. But it was not good what I was doing, and it was not who God called me to be. When I get frustrated, when I would lash out, it doesn't show Christ in me. It's not a good example to others. I say I'm a Christian, which I am, and I believe in Christ. But when I'm lashing out and I'm being unkind, that does not show Christ in me to others. And funny little thing, I actually just got a bracelet that says, "What would Jesus do?" And this is kind of just to remind me to be, remind me wherever I'm at, just what would Jesus do? But when I start to play a little dirty or start to be unkind when I'm playing sports, I feel like I got to hide it sometimes, because I'm like, well, that's not what Jesus would do. But I want you all to think of someone who has gone above and beyond to be kind to you. I'm sure you can all think of maybe one person. It could be anybody. How did that make you feel? This person just constantly loves on you and is kind. What does that show of their heart? And that obviously shows that they have Christ in them. Maybe this was your father. It could be your mother. It could be a friend. Whoever it is, just think of that person who just went above and beyond to be kind to you. And that's who we should all aspire to be like that. We should aspire to be like Christ. But we should all aspire to be kind to others, because that's what God calls us to do. Now I want you to think of someone who is not so unkind. You might be able to think of somebody who's not kind faster than you can think of somebody kind. I know most of us probably know at least one person like this, and some of us probably know Christians who are unkind, and I just want you to answer this question. Who sticks out more when they're unkind? Someone who is, they're not a Christian, or someone who is a known Christian? it's obviously the Christian. We get held to a higher bar, it seems, at times. And as I'm going to say, I'm going to say this many times today. Jesus calls us to be kind to others. So today we're going to be discussing a parable that many of you have probably heard. Maybe some of you know this by heart. It's a very popular parable. And this parable is not just a story, but it's also a source of inspiration for us. It's something that we can look at and we say, okay, that's how I'm supposed to be. And it is an excellent example of someone who went above and beyond to be kind. And it shows how we as Christians are to act. And it's the parable of the Good Samaritan. And most of you probably remember this parable for the acts of kindness and compassion that the Good Samaritan has for the man who was beaten and robbed. So please turn with me to Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But he, the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus replied with this parable. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back." Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And the lawyer said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." So for today's service, I'm going to be going through this a little differently than some of you may have heard. While there is a lot to this passage, more than acts of kindness and compassion, for today's purposes, we are going to be focusing on those acts of kindness and unkindness. And what I really want you to be able to to happen today is that you'll be able to see the different characters in this story, to be able to clearly see what their actions were, how they acted. I want you to be able to identify where you fall in this group of characters, and hopefully you'll be able to see who God calls us to be. So the main point I want to make today is that we need to be kind to all our neighbors, no matter who they are, because that is what Jesus calls us to do. We need to be kind to all our neighbors, no matter who they are, because that is what Jesus calls us to do. So if you look at verse 25, so a lawyer approached Jesus, and this is not a lawyer that we typically think of. This is not the lawyer that we think of in our day. This is a Jewish scribe. This is someone who is an expert in Jewish law. And seeking to test Jesus, this lawyer asks how to inherit eternal life. And Jesus flips this question right back to the lawyer. And the lawyer says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And some of you may have heard that statement in the other Gospels, but per Jesus, these two commandments are the greatest and they cover the rest. And Jesus replies to the lawyer and says, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." So next, this lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who's my neighbor?" And we just heard how the lawyer himself said we are to love our neighbor as ourselves, but this lawyer asks, "Who is my neighbor?" So obviously, he does not think that everyone is his neighbor. He thinks certain people are, and he thinks certain people aren't. And I just want to ask, do we ask the same question? When we hear that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves, do we say, well, these people aren't my neighbor? Or do we just leave people out? Or are we including all of the people when we hear that statement that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves? And we're going to address this shortly, but Jesus replies to this lawyer by telling a parable. And this parable answers who our neighbors are and our obligations to them, how we're to treat our neighbor. And we just saw that a godly man, this lawyer, this scribe, this expert in law, was questioning who his neighbors were. And he obviously does not think people are his neighbors. Certain people are his neighbors, as I said. And each character that we see today is going to address their neighbor differently. Most of them choose the wrong path, but one does not. Several choose not to show kindness, but one does. We have the different characters we have are the robbers. We have the man who was beaten and robbed, the priest, the Levite, the Samaritan, and the innkeeper. And as we go through this, I really want you to try to visualize which of these characters you are most like today. And when you do come to that conclusion, which character you are most like, I want you to either write it down or just keep it in your head. So, verse 29, we'll start at verse 29 when we meet this man who was beaten. So, a man is traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. And this path was very dangerous for several reasons. Not only because it had a very sharp decline, but it was also rocky terrain. And cool fact is that this path from Jerusalem to Jericho was only about 17 to 18 miles, but the elevation went down a little over 3,000 feet in that just those 17 miles. So it was a very rough and dangerous path, and it was especially good for a good place for robbers and people who were trying to take advantage of travelers to hide, because there was just a lot of places to hide. And this man was walking down this path, and he's stripped naked, beaten, and left half dead by these robbers. And he was left in a very critical condition. Now just imagine you're walking by this man, and I just want you to say, what would you do? If you saw this man who was half dead, who was beaten, he was in a terrible state, what would you do? What's the first thing that you would think? Would you go to his aid? Would you call for help? Or would you simply just walk by? And in this passage, we're going to see a few different responses. And I just want you to ask again, which one are you today? Which one would you be? So first, the priest and the Levite. So a priest is walking down this road, and the priest is a man who serves God. He ministers in the temple, and he is highly religious. We know of priests from reading the New Testament. And I just want you to think of today, if you knew a pastor or servant of the church, someone who you knew was a Christian, you would probably be pretty confident that in a situation like this, when there was someone who was very in a desperate situation, who needed someone to be kind to them, someone to help them, you would probably be pretty confident that they would help. They would go to help this man. But this priest does not. Now, there's a few reasons this priest might have not helped. He could have been worried about becoming unclean. He could have feared being robbed. Or he could have feared assisting a sinner. But we have no evidence of this in the text. The bottom line is that this priest, this man, the supposed man of God, did not stop to help his neighbor. He did not stop to help this man. He was not kind to his neighbor. So then a Levite comes, and you think, okay, maybe this guy will help, because a Levite's also a man of God. At least Levite's more like a priest assistant. You'd probably be, okay, maybe one didn't do it, but this guy's going to do it. But that's not the case. And I just want you to think, if you were in this scenario and you were the man or woman in this situation, who was the one who was beaten and robbed? And most of us have been in situations where it did not look too good. And you see two men of God, or in our case, two Christians, walk by. You're down there beaten, you're in a terrible state, and you see two men of God, two Christians, walk by. They see you, they see that you need help, and you need someone to act kind. They need they don't know They know you need someone to act kind to you, but they simply walk by. What does that show? Does that show loving your neighbor as yourself? Surely it does not. And surely it does not show kindness. And I just want to ask any of you, have any of you ever seen someone in desperation, someone who desperately needed someone to help them, someone to be kind to them, and simply walked by? I know I have many times. Maybe you didn't know this person. Maybe they were different. Maybe they're, you know, you just didn't want to help them for whatever reason it may have been. But you decided not to help them when they needed someone to be kind to them that moment. And as we will see, Jesus does not call us to be kind only to people we are close to, only to people that we like, but to all. So are you the priest or the Levite today? If you are, I want you to just keep that in head so you remember that. You can just keep that in your mind, but I just want you to recognize which one of these are you. Are you the priest or Levite today? And I know we all have been at certain times in our lives, but as I said, this is not who Jesus calls us to be. So the next character, the main character, is the Samaritan. So the same scenario happens. The Samaritan approaches this man, but instead of passing by like the priest and the Levite, he stops, and Jesus says he has compassion. And one of the ironic things of this story is that the person helping this half-dead man is a Samaritan. This possible Jew was being helped by a Samaritan. And also remember that this Jesus is telling the story to a Jewish scribe, a priest, or a man of God. And some of you may know who a Samaritan, and some of you may not. So I'll briefly summarize who a Samaritan is. So Samaritans were a group of people who claimed to be true descendants of Israel and keepers of the Torah, keepers of the Old Testament. Samaritans also believed that the temple in Jerusalem and the priesthood there were not legitimate. So put simply, Jews really did not like Samaritans. Samaritans really did not like Jews. And to Jews, Samaritans were actually considered unclean. And Jews had such a grudge against Samaritans that they would literally, instead of traveling straight through Samaria, which would have been the fastest path, they would go around it to avoid going through there. And some of you can relate to this. I just want you to think of your least favorite person. Maybe they're a Michigan fan, or maybe they're an Ohio State fan. And let's say, and visualize this person as the Samaritan in the story. You probably, if you're the person hearing this story, and you're hearing the Samaritan, this person you absolutely despise, being the hero of the story, you're probably not going to really like this story. But this is what's happening. This story is being told to a lawyer, a Jewish scribe. And this Jewish scribe would really not like Samaritans. So when he's hearing this story, he's probably like, a Samaritan's helping this guy? But Jesus did this on purpose. We're not to pick and choose who our neighbor is. Our neighbor is whoever God calls us to be a neighbor to, not just who we want to be a neighbor to, because that's easy. It does not matter who they are, and it does not matter who we are. It does not matter. If we have an opportunity to be kind to someone, to show the love of Christ to someone, then we should. And obviously, this is not to say that we should help somebody to do something wrong or encourage them to do something wrong, but if we have the opportunity to show the love of Christ, to be kind, then we should. So back to the story. So the Samaritan sees the man who's robbed, as I said, and he stops. And he does not walk by, but instead we hear that he has compassion. And the Samaritan begins to bandage up the wounds, and he pours wine and oil on him. So oil would have soothed his wound. It would have soothed the pain a little bit. And obviously wine would have been a disinfectant. So now this man, he not only stopped, unlike the scribe and the Levite, he actually is using his own resources. He's going out of his way to help this man. But this is not the end. The Samaritan helps the beaten man get onto his animal, whatever kind of animal it was. the Samaritan has bandaged up. He's helped this man, and now he helped him get on his animal. So this means that the Samaritan's probably walking while this man's on his animal. So he gave his resources. Now he's actually walking. I mean, this guy is really going out of his way to help this man who he doesn't even know. And the Samaritan is actually taking him to an inn, as you can see here, and he takes care of him. And the Samaritan not only does this, but he also gives the innkeeper about 2 days' wages and offers to pay any additional expenses. And this money, one source said that this money would have actually taken care of this man for roughly 24 days. So just think of how much this Samaritan went above and beyond to be kind to this man he didn't even know. He was more kind to this robbed and beaten man even than a priest and a Levite, even than men of God. And the Samaritan was not prejudiced. He did not walk by, since this man could have possibly been a Jew. He did not question who his neighbor was, like the lawyer in the story. He did not question that. When he saw the man, he did not think of himself, but rather he thought of the man, as we should. And Jesus calls us to do the same. And then you have the innkeeper and the robbers. So the innkeeper was just doing this for the money, and this is not to say that the innkeeper was doing anything wrong. He could have been just providing for himself or his family, but I thought this might be a good example for us, because when you have the opportunity to be kind to someone, do you just look at what it is in it for you? So are you just expecting something in return, and that's the only reason you're being kind to someone? And that's not the case for the Samaritan. The Samaritan actually took a lot of his time, his money, and his resources to help this person, not expecting anything in return. Or have any of us been like the robbers at some point in our life, where we're, instead of being kind, we're the complete opposite of kindness, where we're hurting, we're destroying. And I'm sure all of us have been at certain times in our life. And we may have been in all of these situations at one time in our life. We most likely have been in every single one of these situations at one point in our life. Maybe we have been like the priest or the Levite. When we have a chance to be kind, when we see the opportunity to help someone, we simply walk by. And we know that as Christians that we should help others even if we do not know or like them, but we don't. Or maybe we have been like the Samaritan at different points in our life, or maybe we're like this now. Instead of doing the bare minimum, instead of just doing what we have to do, we go above and beyond in kindness as Jesus calls us to do. Or maybe we have been like the innkeeper, who is only kind to others if we get something in return. We're only doing it because, you know, we want something in return. We're not doing it because we love others. And finally, we have been like the robber, where instead of kindness, we do the complete opposite and are unkind. So which one of these are you now? Which one of these different characters are you today? Are you the priest or the Levite? Are you the Samaritan, the innkeeper, or the robber? Just think, which one are you today? If this situation happened today, which option would you do? Which one of these would you do? And Jesus asked in verse 36, which of these three proved to be a neighbor to the man who was robbed and beaten? And obviously, it was the Samaritan, the most unlikely to help a possible Jew, the most unlikely to be a hero of this story when a Jew is hearing this. And Jesus calls us to go and do likewise. He literally calls us to go and do likewise. It's very clear how he wants us to act towards our neighbors. So when the opportunity comes, no matter who it is, we are to act and be kind. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, that no matter which one of these characters you are today, no matter which one of these you identified with today, Jesus calls us to be like the Samaritan, and that is very clear. Anybody can be kind to people they know, to their family, or to people they just like in general. What is not easy is to be kind to someone that you don't know or that you don't necessarily like. And Paul says in Ephesians 4, 25 through 31, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let no thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as Christ forgave you." So it's very clear today who Jesus calls us to be. He calls us to be kind to others, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done. He calls us to be virtuous, to be like the Samaritan who went above and beyond to the man who was robbed and beaten. And ultimately, we're called to be like Jesus, who is the perfect example of kindness. He was the perfect example of all these virtues we have been hearing. And he loved us so much, he cared for us so much, that he was willing to die for us sinners who are not kind to him and oftentimes are not kind to him. He was willing to die on that cross for us, even though we had not been kind to him. So be kind. Show the light of Christ. Throw off any prejudice you have of whether if you don't know a person or whoever they may be, just throw that off. And if you're kind today, which many of you are, continue to do that because that is what Christ calls us to do. Simple acts of kindness can repair relationships, they can bring others to Christ, and it can really have an impact. Just think of somebody, as I was saying at the beginning, who has been so kind to you and what that has really shown you about them. Christ calls us to do the same. So I'm going to go ahead and pray for you. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for all the fathers here. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to bless them and just remind them how much we all appreciate them, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that after hearing this message, that all of us would be able to identify which of these people we are today. And Lord, I pray that you would put it on our hearts to be like the Samaritan and ultimately to be like you, to be kind to others, to be virtuous men and women of God. And I pray, Lord, that you would just keep us safe and give us a great week, Lord, and bring us back here safely and bring us back here stronger and closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.